Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the iTunes search engine and you've entered Warman Kickfighting Show and the show pops right up. I'll jump right into it today. I am on location. I don't know how much value that has, but I like to say it every once in a while. I am here in New York for Glory, and it's fun. It's a nice card that's been put together. I was glad to have a hand in it, and I'm going to, as I told you guys before, I'll break down the fights by what I think each athlete brings to the table. It should be a fun card. If you're in New York, definitely come and check it out. But I'm going to finish the show with that. I'm going to start the show with some kickboxing action that's took place over the past couple weekends. First, I'm going to start with the S Cup, the girls' S Cup. They've been doing it regularly, and they had a good one. We had our first foreign winner in the female division with a fighter that we've talked about on the show before, Jelani Valentino. She has fought Rena Kubota in the past, so should be fun, but I'll go ahead and start going through that card. It starts off with Jelani Valentino getting a victory over Uzuma Kobayashi, 30-29, 29-28, and 29-29 on those scorecards. Masaki Morita gets a victory over Isis Verbeek. That's a big win. Verbeek's fought all over, Infusion, Glory, like anywhere. She's a really, really veteran fighter who's fought and pursued. And I remember one time I told you guys on this podcast, I was listening to the commentary when she was younger. She dropped out of high school to pursue fighting full time. And I said I wasn't sure if it was the best decision. If you could do both, do both. But in the end, you know, if someone decided that they wanted to use their life to experience things to the full, and she fell in love with Muay Thai kickboxing, she wanted to do that, I think that she should do it. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, about your future and what you want to do. So when I hear it, you know, and the idea of dropping out of school, you know, especially because it sounded like she dropped out of, like, what would be the equivalent of high school for us in the States, I wasn't the biggest fan of that, but in the end, if you know what you want to do and you love it, you're almost hurting yourself to not go after it full. So she is now, you know, fought Japan, something she probably didn't think would happen when she first started it. She's fought, you know, all over the world, continued, even though she came up short here. Good for you, Isis Verbeek. I'm glad that you're out there pursuing it. Masaki Morita is a talented talented fighter. She moves forward in the tournament, and a person who I want to see fight even outside of just the shootboxing opportunities. She's a good talent. Kwadapur Mengpech gets a victory over Jadiet Nagawa. That was a split decision in the quarterfinal, in their quarterfinal match. This is my, I didn't get to see all of this one, only got to see a couple of clips, but Kuda, a name that I'd like to look up a little bit more to see if I could find something on her past, because I was impressed. And then the darling, Mio Tetsumura, gets a victory over Sihi Lim. Mio, of course, you always see her in footage with Brina because she's got a kind of cuteness to her, and they sell her on just her appeal to, you know, the male audience and her appeal to look like the everyday woman, young, you know, pretty young woman in Japan. Different look than Rena. Rena's got like a... Rena looks like she could be a Bond girl. She's got a really... Rena's a very, very attractive girl. Mio looks like she could be the girl next door, but just very, very cute. So, like, the way that they present her and sell her, those are attributes that they bring up. We move on to the next round of the tournament. In that round, we have Mio Tamura getting a victory over Kuda, a unanimous decision. She had scored several downs in the fight, at least two that I can remember, 30-25, 30-25, and 30-26, as Mio Tamura, who, I mean, she can crack. Like, she can punch. I think that one of them was a standing eight. And there's a good gif of her just letting her hands go and just landing big shots in exchange. Mio is a talent. We move on to Jelani Valentino. She's getting a victory over Masaki Morita. 30-28 on two cards, 30-27 in the last. Clear victory for Valentino. She moves on and wins it in the final over Mio Tamura. Close round, but 29-28 once, and then a 30-28 dissenting judge in favor of the champ. You know what? That's why I was throwing off. I am reading the wrong scorecards. I do not have the scorecards for Valentino. victory over Mio Tamura. I just had some of the action. My apologies. I was reading another fight on the card. But Valentino's talented. And it's really cool to see her, you know, stand up there and go through the ceremony. She, the previous winners, Erica Kimimura, Reno, Mio, Rina Mio, those are all Japanese-born athletes. So for someone to win the shootboxing title and for someone to get the opportunity after losses, this is something that I don't think shootboxing has gotten enough credit for. But shout out to Christina Djurdjevic, who just got proposed or just got engaged. She was proposed to the other day. She posted it, all the videos up on Facebook. But she went out to Japan and lost her first fight. And then they brought her back and used her in the tournament. I believe they brought her back 2-3 times. And I love that even though Valentino lost to Rina Kubota, they still brought her back. And this gave her opportunity to compete. She made it to the final. She wins it all, and she's the first foreign-born S-Cup winner. And I just think that that's awesome, you know. This is 48 kgs that this all went down. Very entertaining action. Rina was on this card. She won an MMA fight. It seems like she is all in on MMA, and she's still down to fight for shootboxing and represent shootboxing, but they are just doing special for her, and they're giving her mixed martial arts bouts to continue her career there. She's a good talent, so I'm glad she was on this card. You know, clearly I love her as a kickboxer. I'd like to see that return, but she's doing her thing, and it seems like MMA is the focus. We go from there all the way over to Italy. So we're touching all the cool places in the world. But in Italy, the Bellator Kickboxing had their 10th event, if I remember correctly. And I will go ahead and start from the top down. Gabriel Varga and Kevin Ross closed the show. Gabriel Varga, you know, just they were just having a nice, smooth back and forth. Guys landing punches, low kicks. Then all of a sudden, Varga, I'm trying to remember this correctly, I believe he does a knee, and he throws a shot right after it, and you could see Ross kind of move weird. It just landed in the right kind of spot. Varga then closed the distance, let his hands go big. Kevin was trying to get his composure, wasn't able to get it, and then literally on the ropes, he dropped his hands. And, you know, Varga's clear to throw clean, and we don't give refs enough credit when they do a great job. This is a great job by this ref. Seeing that Kevin Ross, the only thing that could have happened was Kevin Ross would take several shots and kind of had the kind of sports center kind of KO. That was the only thing that would have happened. But Varga had clearly hurt him. Ross was clearly not there. And the ref stepped in and stopped the fight before Kevin Ross received anything huge, you know. And it's just, I jump on them when they're bad, so I need to praise them when they're good. This was a great job. By the ref to stop the fight when they did. Great job, great timing. Kevin Ross, I mean, good fighter. He's an older guy, but, man, he's been competing. And, you know, as his coach said on Twitter, just wasn't his night. Camp was good, just wasn't his night. Got caught. Gabriel Varga, first guy to have a glory title and a Bellator kickboxing title on his resume. Very good fighter. Bounced back from that loss, you know, right when he had his debut. You know, he's won ever since. And, good that he won here. He's very good fighter, very talented. So I'm excited to see what happens for Varga moving forward. They just got to find some names, and that's kind of been their struggle. They haven't had consistent names to compete at that weight class. So not just this weight class, but all the weight classes, they've struggled to have talent come through on a regular basis. But good job by Varga getting the victory here, and we'll see what happens with him moving forward. Kevin Ross, you know, says he's going to take some time off. Do some recovering, maybe pops back at, you know, December or early January next year. Georgia Petrosian gets a victory over Chingiz Alazov, 50-44, 49-45, twice on the scorecards. Here's my thing with this fight. First of all, it just shows how great Georgia Petrosian is, because he's supposed to be getting up in his years. He's supposed to be older. He's supposed to be a little bit slower. But his eye, his ability to find his 3-2, his ability to find offense and keep from taking big offense from a lot of his opposition, it just hasn't gone anywhere. I truly believe he could get into the glory, you know, field tomorrow and be right at the top, because that's how talented this guy is. It is a timeless, timeless talent. He went out there, gets a big-time victory over Chingiz Alazov, a young up-and-comer who, you know, it could have been a changing-of-the-guard type fight, except for Georgia wasn't giving up the guard quite yet. He is still staying on top. at the moment. I will say that I thought Chingiz had a really good round two. He could have sustained round two for two more rounds, or two of the last three rounds, I think he could have won it. I thought he had good punch volume and didn't close in, didn't get into clinch too much, was able to land low kicks. I thought that was his best scoring. Petrosian looked like he was waiting a little bit in that round and he wasn't able to get off. But I thought the other rounds, 1, 3, 4, and 5, were very much in favor of Georgia Petrosian. The knockdown, completely fine with the knockdown. I mean, Chingiz, as soon as he hit the mat, he was waving his hands like, you know, no down, no down. No, you're not hurt. But it was a clean down. It was a punch scored. It knocked you off balance more than it hurt you, but definitely a knockdown. The fight was not memorable to me. I thought that it would be better. I thought both guys would have moments where they represented their offense well. That's kind of like, that's one of the ways that I enjoy combat sports, when both guys get their moment, you know, get their stuff in, as you say. So I really thought that this fight got sloppy. There were some shots, a lot of holding, a lot more holding than I wanted to see. The flow of consistent offense from a distance didn't show up as much. So I was disappointed in it from an entertaining perspective. But in terms of what was, you know, storytelling of it, of Georgia Petrosian, you know, fighting off another young lion, trying to take over the mantle of, you know, the best or one of the best in the world at 154 pounds, it just ain't happening yet. The 70-kg king of the last, you know, 15 years is still Georgia Petrosian. He is still that special of a talent. And we want to see the best guys go against him. I'd love to see Sidishai go against him. Sidishai win that? Good chance. Sidishai lose that? Good chance. That's what happens when you're talking about Georgia Petrosian. Gaston Bolanos gets a victory over Domencio Lamerno. I may have confused Lamerno with someone else as far as this card goes. Lamerno is a guy who they've used on a regular basis for this card. I think I confused him with a fighter that Kevin Ross had fought in the past. But nevertheless, Gaston Bolanos put on a good kickboxing display. You know, he doesn't have all his tools, because when he has his elbows, he's usually spinning around and trying stuff a little bit more. But I still thought that he fought extremely well. Good stuff by Gaston Bolanos. But the story making will be done better when you have a map and we have more consistency in how much these guys fight. It's kind of more like a boxing promotion. I said it before. You know, Bellator boxing with these four or five guys, and they're going to go against these four or five opponents. But if it's going to be a developed league, it's got to be these 30 people fighting this league. And that's kind of where we got to move forward to as Bellator kickboxing continues to do their thing. Martina Micheletto gets a victory over Gloria Piratore. And I mentioned that Gloria Piratore has fought in this card before. Micheletto just better on this night. Two rounds clear. One round was debatable. But Micheletto did a good job, gets the victory. And again, consistency is going to be the key. The more we see her, the better it will be. I think I will wrap the card up there. There was a couple others on the undercard. Florenzo Pisari got a victory. David Armanani got a victory. Gabriele Casale got a victory. Gabriele Casale got a victory. And then Rafael Vitale got a victory on the undercard. Decisions until the final fight. It was all decisions until we had Varga versus Kevin Ross. So Bellator doing their thing, continue to be consistent. Crowd wasn't as good as they'd like. Considering, you know, Georgia was on the card. That's definitely not the kind of cards that I'm used to seeing from them. But I thought it was good stuff, and I'm happy for those who competed and participated on that card. And now I move us to Glory. Glory, New York. What you're not going to see on TV, there are some pretty good bouts. We've got Nico Cigares. He takes on Omar Ahmed. Omar Ahmed is a very good action fighter who fights in the New York area. Nico Cigares, same. No, doesn't really back up. Bites down on the mouthpiece, just starts throwing heat. Like, he just stays in the pocket. He's very, very talented. Aziz Achilov will take on Malik Blake. I'm curious to see that. Blake undefeated, 3-0 at this point in his career. Achilov from Uzbekistan originally, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong there. Please forgive if I am, but he's a very, very talented guy. I'm excited to see him on the card. Two women, I'm really interested in this. Janine Nadell, a fighter from America, she's going to take on Chavela Lee. Chavela Lee is Suriname-based, and she is, of course, in Holland, but born in Suriname. She's out here with her team. I'm really curious to see how that one goes because Glory needs more female fighters, so this undercard prelim does a great job of maybe producing a star for us down the road or an athlete that can compete for us down the road. I'm excited about this one between these two ladies. We got John Morehouse is going to take on Brandon Coutinho. And then we have Zurab Adeshev against Jeffrey Fenn. That one actually may have been canceled. My apologies there. But then for sure, we have Ahmed Ibrahim against Jonathan DiBella. Now, Ahmed Ibrahim, you've probably heard his name before if you are familiar with the history of American Muay Thai, because around 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2011, he really did compete a lot in this area. Very, very tough fighter, very good guy, a lot of combat action, like he brings a good fight. DiBella, Canadian-based, he's the future young guy. Both these guys will be fighting, I believe the title is for 135. It should be a fun one. The matchups on the undercard, and shout out to Justin Blair and Lou, the team of guys who put this undercard together. Very, very talented. I really like the talents on this card, and I like what they can mean moving forward. We go into the main card, which is down to five. We actually lost the fight due to injury, so I'll talk about the ones that we have. Joe Taylor versus Jacob Rodriguez. As far as style clashes go, this one's going to be a lot of fun because if you've ever seen Joe Taylor fight before, he gets into his boxing, but really he wants to get to a moment where he can let his hands go, be strong, look for big-time KOs with his hands. He's a very powerful dude. You ever seen Jacob Rodriguez fight? Something similar. He walks around, makes his way around the ring, closes the distance, lets his power punches going, lets his power punches go. Scored KO in Thailand. He's just a good, solid fighter who wants to make this a good pro run towards the end of his career. He's 34 years old. I was excited to see him downstairs. You know, I was excited to see him walk around and be a part of this experience. And just, he put in a lot of work on the amateur scene, and that's what I really want to do. So if you're out there and you are a experienced, successful amateur fighter and you go pro, if you get some W's, I want to reward you by helping you get into the Glory situations and let you have your opportunity to show if your skill set really does compete with the best in the world. That's what I want to do. So we got Joe Taylor, older guy, Jacob Rodriguez, older guy in the sense of they're in their, you know, both 34. But in terms of the action these two gentlemen are going to bring, having KO power, not wanting to be the one to back down, this is, should be a really, really fun fight. Asa Ten Pao against Justin Greskiewicz. Asa Ten Pao, young up-and-coming fighter, again, has the IFMA resume. He won one, lost one just recently at the IFMA World Championships in Cancun. But, man, the kid can fight. Very, very talented. I like the boxing. I like the low kick game. Justin Greskiewicz, just a savvy veteran who's seen it all. I like that he can get into his boxing flow. I like his he's got a big-time KO win. Back when K1 had the show in California, and they brought him out, and he had a KO on the card. He's fought all the top guys in America way early in his career. He fought Liam Harrison. They brought Liam Harrison over from England for him to fight him in Philadelphia. In his backyard, he went against such a tough guy. But I have always been a fan of Greskiewicz, so it was cool that we were able to work out an agreement with him. It's just going to be a fun fight between these two. Itaker Sean has got a lot of international experience. He lives in Jerusalem, I'm excited to have him on the card for what he means and what he represents and just his fighting style and his strength and his history. He struggled to beat some of the better guys, but so far in Glory, he's having a pretty good run. He's got good, solid kickboxing skill. Very fun to have him on this card. And then we have Trevor Rajan, and Trevor is a guy who I first saw fight in Glory, Virginia, and I was there with Myron Dennis. We came short in the decision to Brian Collette, but I remember he was on the card. Trevor was on the undercard, and he has a style where kind of he's patient and he starts letting his hands go strong. And he's patient and he starts letting his hands go strong. Just won a fight out in Korea recently, so it's fun to have him on the card. That's going to be a good lightweight clash. Originally, we were trying to do a tournament, but then just the card got too full, and these two are going to go at it in a single fight. Tiffany Van Soos against Sophia Olofsson. And Tiffany, of course, I feel like I've watched almost every Tiffany fight, thanks to the fact that she was online fight so early in her career, and some of her fights before it had surfaced. I remember her fighting, Jenny Castillo, for an amateur title in California. And I remember her as the opponent before she had developed into Time Bomb as we know it, with the movement and the explosiveness into her offense, or into her big shots over the top, and, you know, her low kicks and her body kicks, and just she became a better fighter through the matchups that she got in line fight that helped grow her career. But she's a savvy fighter who's always down to compete with the best. She's got good vision. She's not afraid of exchanges. She's got good pop in her hands. Tiffany Van Soos, it's always fun to have her on the cards. And in particular, this is a little bit special moment because this is her first fight after her grandmother who passed away. And her grandmother raised her for a period of time. She lived with her grandmother while she was in college and while she pursued fighting. And I remember when she won the WBC title and she's like showing pictures of it and she's talking about how poor she is living at her grandmother's house trying to make this happen. So it's cool that, you know, she's fighting after losing the loss of her grandmother who was very much in her life for a long time. I'm happy to see Tiffany on the card. Sophia Olofsson is the best prospect, I'd say, that we've probably brought in this year into glory. Not to say that there aren't other talents. You know, clearly, Muhammad Dry is up there too, you know. But as far as what she's done to the competition at her weight class in the world, Sophia is the truth. She's really, really strong as an athlete. Coming off of, she won IFMAs all three of her fights. She won quite handily. Won IFMA last year. She had a victory over Imam Barlow last year. She's, you know, just tough. Just that next up and coming. There's always going to be a next in this game, and she's the next right now. So I'm excited to see her. She's got good body kicks, good boxing. She can go to the clinch and win there. Like, she's a talent. She's a talent. So I'm excited to see her amongst the best in the world. Her and Tiffany is a good fight. Cedric Doumbé versus Alan Shinesman, or Shineson. Shineson, of course, you know how he gets down. You know, he's going to move, close the distance, look to land his big boxing. He'll score low kicks here and there to mix it up, but really he's about getting strong hands on you. Cedric Doumbé is doing a little bit of everything. He promised that he was going to get a KO in his last fight in France, and he did so. You know, he's able to get Tong Chai with the overhand right to score the big KO because he said he's been working on his KO power. Savvy kickboxer. He can score low kicks from both stands. Inside-outside leg, really good focus in the outside leg. The movement, the charisma. Cedric Doumbé is one of the true stars in kickboxing, so this is a good matchup to end the fight pass portion of the card. We head to the ESPN televised portion. We've got Elvis Gashiz goes against Nick Chastain. Nick Chastain's got that good resume from fighting in line fight, fought, you know, Muay Thai all over. He took this opportunity. He got a decent amount of a camp, but it's out of his weight class. But it just shows how much of a warrior, of a, you know, have gloves, will travel type mentality that he's always had. I'm a big fan of Nick Chastain. This kid can fight, and this kid will always bring it. Elvis Gashi is a talent. Like, just undefeated in his glory run so far. Good, strong kickboxing. Good, strong for the weight class. Coming off the win over in England. Overseas in England. I think that was, what, a month and a half ago? Wanted to get on this card for sure after that victory. He's on that card, on this card. So him and Nick Chastain will be good. Definitely want to see good action from both of those athletes. Another style clash as Victor Pinto comes in with his Muay Thai style against Nate Richardson, who has more the strong boxing with the hands, with the moment, looking for the right moments for the low kicks. This is a good style matchup because Pinto, when he has to, he can switch up and really focus on throwing strong boxing to get himself back into fights. He showed it before on scorecards. Nate Richardson, when he has to, has done a really good job of getting more into his low kick offense and biting down and just letting his hands go. When he lost to Gashi in New York last year, he went down in round one, and everyone was saying That kid's going to get knocked out. That kid's going to get knocked out. For the next two rounds, Elvis Gotti was on the retreat where Nate Richardson was just throwing heat, trying to get back into it, in particular in round three. So you know what you're going to get from Nate Richardson. He's got good power. He's got good kickboxing. But if he's down, he's not going to just let you walk away to a decision. He's throwing heat. And we know what we're getting in Victor Pinto. Good kickboxing when he needs to, but mostly he's a Muay Thai stylist, so it should be fun. Junior Tafa against Anthony McDonald is our heavyweight banger, and Junior, he came out, he's real short at the press conference. He just said, F this guy, F all this, let's get me in there. You know, like just, he's ready to compete. Anthony McDonald was so close to having another glory fight back in Chicago. Medically, they wouldn't clear him at the time, which is really, really disappointing. Especially when you get to the venue and then your pre-fight check says you can't fight. That's heartbreaking. But McDonald, back to camp, got this opportunity here in New York. He's going to use his athleticism, his movement. He plays with sidekicks here and there. But we'll see how much he's grown since that loss to Ty Lewis Perry. But he came in and did that short notice like 4 years ago. So we will see what kind of product he is now. And then we'll also see if Junior Tafa, who course sits on his punches, those big heavy shots, we'll see if he can get a victory and continue to grow as a fighter and move forward. It should be a good matchup between both guys. Kevin Van Nostrand takes on Petch Poonamarang, Kit Moon Kao, and of course Petch is on a tear right now. He won a four-man tournament, then after that he won head kick in the third round over Zachariah Zoghari and head kick KO just a couple months ago in France over Isbiri. He is not just one of the best fighters in the world, he's on fire, and there's a difference. You know, you can have the talent show up and still be a super talent, and everybody respects that, I understand, but it's another thing to show up knowing that when you've gone out there and performed your last four or five times, it's been the best version of you. So that's what Petch is bringing to the table. Kevin Van Nostrand, coming off of the title loss, he won the title over Anvar Benazarov. He won an interim title in New York in December of last year. So then we go into this fight, or to his follow-up fight in L.A., where he fights against Robin Van Roosmalen. Didn't go his way. Still a tough guy, you know, glad for the opportunity, but didn't go his way that night. Then he's supposed to be going against Massaro Glunder on this card. Glunder is not able to, make it. And, Robin Van Roosmalen, he's supposed to be in a title fight. He's not able to compete due to an injury. And after his injury, they go ahead and see if Kevin wants to do it. And Kevin says yes. So Kevin moves into that spot. We move Glunder to another card. But how awesome is it that Kevin, who's got that good kickboxing style, and he won round one against Robin Van Roosmalen, he's going to use his movement. He's going to use spinning back, heel kicks, spinning back fists, sneaky knees, and just that bounce. Try not to stay in one place. Touch and go. It's always fun watching him go. So we've got the karate stylist against the straight Muay Thai stylist. Just a fun matchup and a fun clash of styles. Should be good. We finish the night with Alex Pereira as he goes against Yusri Bulgari. And it's just, let's see who's the better. This is the round three, so the grudge match. So they're both one apiece. We had a clear victory by Yusri, who really got going into his offense in the first one. Second one, Yusri Bulgari started great, and then all of a sudden, round three, here comes Alex Pereira, who scores it down and then also causes a huge cut. Cut Scott stops the fight, so we've got Alex and Bulgari doing it for the third time. Should be a lot of action. I'm telling you, you can never count Alex out, because Alex was losing to Adesanya, came back and won by KO. Losing to Yusri, came back and won by KO. So it's the intangibles, the things that you can't, put into someone. It's something that he also brings to the table. The dude can fight. The dude can fight, and if he's down, he still has the power to throw and get himself back into it. Yusri Bulgari used to train at Lucien Corbin's back in the day. I didn't know that. I probably saw him at the gym in one of my trips there and just didn't realize it was him. But really good with his boxing, his step knees, finds the low kicks here and there, but he'll play with the low kick, he'll play with the heel low kick. Like, he just mixes it up and he plays with every tool, and he believes that he can. And, of course, work with Mike. He's going to sit on the power punches a little bit more, and we will see who is the winner, but this is a great fight to finish the night. I'm going to be at the Garden tomorrow. I hope you guys are there. I hope you guys are watching. It's going to be on Fight Pass, and it's going to be on ESPN. Lately, ESPN News has been playing it live. So if you get a hold of, or you get the opportunity to see the fights, watch them. If you get an opportunity, you're in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts. If you're in this area, come check us out that night. Should be a fun one for glory. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless, and you guys have a good one. Peace.